Hey, everybody. For those of you who saw just a few minutes ago, you saw the bitch side of me. Sorry. This is Gay and Bruno, Between the Sheets podcast. We're on the first and third Friday of every month here on the United Broadcasting Network here in the lovely city of Burbank. Please call us 323-524-2599 and follow me on Instagram, QTE Brett, as well as our Facebook page, Between the Sheets. So I'm going to go around the table. I have my lovely ladies here. I'll start with someone who hasn't been in studio for a while, and I'm so happy to have her back, and that's Mara Shane. Mara, let us know what you've been doing, sweetheart.
Hi. So I've been working on my shoes. I've been designing shoes as usual, and that's about it, really.
And then we have Roxanne Rosen.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I apologize for the technical difficulties, and I'm excited to be with you all again.
And then we have Cara Noble.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Yes. Well, what have I been up to? I'm just Christmasing up the house. I mean, it takes forever, you know, being a house.
A Christmaser, houser, a decorator one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then we have Ronnie Loiza.
Hello, everyone. I don't apologize for the technical glitches. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just kidding. I'm so happy to be here with you lovely ladies and with everyone watching. Stay on, call in, and we're going to have some fun. And it's going to be a new moon tomorrow night. And I have something to say. I have not decorated. I don't have a tree yet, but I got all my Christmas mugs out.
Oh, I love that. I got mine out too. I've got two mugs. I look forward to it.
Yeah,
so
we have like coffee mugs and all these Christmas like mugs and glasses. So I put away the old ones. I took out so it's a step. It's getting there. We get our tree next Wednesday. I ordered one.
You people are weird. That's all I'm saying. And then we have Cheryl Murphy.
Guys, I've been eating turkey all week. Maybe some of you have too, but I still have a little bit left. It came out great. Thanks for your cranberry sauce recipe, Ronnie. Love. I'm so happy to be here. Gayanne, you look beautiful tonight, by the way. You look
thanks.
Fabulous.
I think I needed to just have a little bit of a meltdown, and then I'm good.
You're good.
And then we have someone who has been part of the show. She's a traveling gal now, and it's Margie or Marguerite Duran. What have you been doing? Why don't you fill people in?
What am I doing? I'm wandering. I've decided to call this era my nomading period.
Lovely.
And so I've wandered north as far as Idaho into Washington. I've traveled through Oregon, which is probably where I'll end up. I'm kind of based in Tucson right now and spending a lot of time traveling around the Southwest. That's my next month, I think.
Very
nice.
And I'm
coming back, of course, because Gayanne's got a birthday coming
Yes,
up
it's my birthday party, not my birthday, on December 18th. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know because I'm getting things. Yeah, I wasn't invited. Well, check. I sent the initial invite through Facebook Messenger. So check there first, and then please say yes or no. I also want everyone to know that I'm not catering it because I'm freaking tired. So it is a potluck and BYOB. It's pretty much bring your own shit and have a good time with people. And don't panic because I've gotten these emails saying, but there's 75 people coming. I don't want to cook for 75. No, no, no. Cook for whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable by for 10, 15. I don't care because there's going to be plenty of food and it rotates out. And it's, you know, don't all bring desserts. Bring a little bit of everything. I mean, it's fun. It's not a dinner party, and it's not certainly, you know, I'm not Gordon Ramsay, so I will not be critiquing the food items. But just bring a nosh. Bring a nosh. It doesn't matter. And we're doing it at Cara's house.
Yeah,
and
I can only say that last time you had a party at my house, it was the most delicious food ever. Lesbians can fucking cook.
But
amazing.
But you know, it's everybody from, you know, my all my walks of life. I've got, you know, LGBT plus LMNOP. You know, I just got a call, and you know, celebrities, you can't confirm if they're going to come. They put you on the calendar, and then if they remember, they remember. But Tyne Daly, I don't know if anyone remembers her.
Yes.
From Cagney and Lacey, I was doing the talk photo shoot on Wednesday. And we hadn't started the shoot yet, and I got a call, and it's like, Tyne Daly. I'm like, what the hell? And so I picked up, and I'm like, Tyno. And she's like, hey. And she started off with, I can't believe you didn't fucking invite me to your birthday party. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, you're in New York. You live in New York. And I wasn't, I mean, you know, I didn't send it to you. She goes, well, I'm out here now because she's working. And I said, I said, she goes, you know, I was talking to Gless, Sharon, and she told me you were having a party. And she's if she's in town, she's coming. And I'm putting it on my calendar because I want to come. No, and I'm like, okay, is that really why you called to bust my chops? And she's like, no, I'm actually calling to give you condolences because she also told me your mom passed away. So, you know, so yes, there'll be celebrities. It'll be a typical Hollywood soiree. But again, check your Facebook messengers. And you know what? It's an open party. I mean, Carr and I are very open people. So, you know, if you really want to come, I mean, and I don't believe that you've been a psychotic, crazy person with me on Facebook, then reach out.
What about in life, though, if we have been?
Well, we don't know. But one thing is, for outsiders, you must be vaccinated. So just that's a priority. The bigger I make it, the more that becomes a priority, especially if I don't know you. so anyway, so enough about the pate. But
I gotta say, that's the name of your next cookbook. Lesbians Can Fucking Cook. That's a great title. Yeah.
I agree.
Well, you know, that is so not true, because I'm going to dispute that, because okay. I have had, let me count, and I can count on two hands how many people I've slept with and been with. It's seven.
Sad is what it
is. It's seven. Well, I've been in long-term relationships.
Only seven in your entire life?
Hold on, let me think. I'm not going to name the names. Hold on. I'm not going to name the names. Hold on. I'm not naming names, but let me count.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
Listen,
shut the fuck up.
Ronnie,
you always try and bogart the conversation. Shut up. So hold on, let me think. One, two, three, four. Hold on. One, two, three, four. Five, six, seven. It's seven. Seven, seven, seven.
No one's impressed. Wow. Not a soul.
No.
I'm like shocked.
You know what? I have not one. You know what? It just shows you that I am amazing wife material. And when I commit to a relationship, I do commit to a relationship. But what did that have? Oh, but all seven. Cara,
terrible cooks.
They did not one of them knew how to cook.
Well, that's why it's over. I mean, the first question I ask the girl is, what sign are you? The second question I ask is, do you cook? But they can't cook, sorry.
But, you know, yeah. But, I mean, I love to cook, so it really didn't matter, you know, in the first few years. And then after a while, it was like, oh, no. What do we have for dinner? After a few years in the relationship, it's like, oh, no. This is not a traditional relationship. I'm working, and I'll cook when I feel like cooking.
Yeah.
You're on your own, you know?
Definitely. Sunday.
It's like, I love cooking, but after a while, it's like, okay, when are you going to cook for me? Like, that's... I feel loved when somebody cooks for me. I mean, I just feel it's like wonderful. Just being in the kitchen and just making something together that just tastes so beautiful.
That's
and
so,
so
funny
because
I don't.
Mara, do you cook?
No, she does not.
Cooking and baking. I'm not, versed well, shall we say, in the kitchen. I have trouble cooking eggs.
Oh, my God. You're so sad.
But that's why this doesn't matter to you.
So Mara is looking for someone who's butch, who knows how to cook. Am I correct?
That would be nice.
All right.
Or tomboyish.
Or tomboyish.
Androgynous.
Yeah. Androge.
Right.
Oh, no. I like a bit of androgynous. I can go for that.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
I can go for that.
Good for you, Cara.
I haven't, but I could.
So do you... Okay, so I know Margie knows how to cook. Ronnie, you obviously gave Cheryl the recipe.
I love to cook, but it takes me hours. And is it really worth it? Because all the cleaning, I'm one of those that cleans as I go. What about you guys?
Very sensible.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
You have to, or you're going to be left with a million.
Some people don't,
dishes.
And that drives me crazy. I mean,
yeah, me too.
I'm a good assistant.
I'm a good assistant cook.
Oh, those are
I
the
like
best.
To, those are
okay,
good,
Cheryl,
yeah.
I need you to be my chopper. Chopping takes forever.
But see, the thing is, I don't want anybody in the kitchen when I cook. Everybody can sit and stand around, but stay out of my way.
Yeah.
And I will chop. I will prep. I will throw things together. I clean as I go along.
Yeah.
I serve. and then I pick up, and then I wash the dishes right away. I'm like,
So tiring, though.
Again, do you sit down during the dinner, or are you one of those who's constantly getting up to serve?
No. I mean, I usually, you know, I'll serve, or I'll put it on the table and have everyone get their thing. But yeah, I will enjoy, you know, when I cook, I will enjoy the people accompanying. So,
I have a question for you, Gayan.
Yeah,
Gayan, is your kitchen just a one-ass kitchen? Or is it a two-ass? Maybe you have a problem with your kitchen being too small. You have to have a two-ass kitchen for two people to fit in it.
No, my kitchen is perfectly. I mean, my kitchen is fine. I just don't.
Yeah.
I have a certain way of doing things. And
I'm the same way.
Structure to do it right. And when people try and help me, I say, you know, thanks, but hey, why don't you go sit down and have a glass of wine? And it's not like I don't mind them helping me. I just really, because then I get confused. And most, I don't use recipes. I've never cooked with recipes. I make shit up as I go along, or they're recipes that I have in my head from, you know, my grandmother or my father. So I need to, in a way, have to go through the process myself, because otherwise I'll miss something.
Exactly like that.
Oh.
No, I don't want anyone else in the kitchen. I'm like, get out of the kitchen. But if I have a chopper, oh, that is golden, because that saves me like half the time.
Now, see, no, and I'm different. I mean, I love to cook. I love everything about it, everything from start to from grocery shopping for it to, you know, finally cleaning the dishes at the end. It's very therapeutic for me. So I actually like to take the onion and slice the onion. I love that. I have choppers. I've got everything.
I think it's been, a study was done that if you are great in the kitchen, you're also great
in bed.
Of course.
Right?
Really?
Well, yeah.
I can.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense.
Well, that makes sense now.
So what's a food critic?
I mean, I haven't used it in so long. I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, but I've never had any complaints.
Except some people, like if you're a really fast chopper, you know, they need to learn to slow down in the bedroom because they're too, you know, they're too focused on performing at that same level of speed.
Well, do you know how you can tell if someone's a fast chopper?
You can watch them.
How? No, you look at their fingers for scars, okay?
Yeah.
Or missing pieces.
Or missing pieces. Hey, everybody, you're listening to Between the Sheets here on the United Broadcasting Network. We're a bunch of girls hanging out today, chit-chatting, and we'd love to hear you. So call in. I mean, call in. We're running rampant today. So if you've got a topic that you want to discuss, it's 323-524-2599. 323-524-2599. It's a little wonky, the system here. So if you call, sometimes it's weird. Just keep trying back and we'll figure this out. But we'd love to hear what you all have to say.
I would like to talk, here's a topic, about the fact that people are getting back into dating now. It's around the holidays. And I don't know if that's a stress reliever to get away from the family and have somebody, you know, on the side that you're relieving your stress with. from the family. You know, so I have been on the apps. I am on Tinder and Hinge and Bumble. And
no audio.
Uh-oh.
You guys can't hear us anymore?
You can.
Not Mara.
Okay. Mara yet?
You can't hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
Now we can.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just too picky.
What was that?
Into the kitchen. Someone's breaking plates in the kitchen.
Yeah. But I'd like to know how everyone's dating life is going.
Oh, mine is going wonderful.
Yay. Oh. Roxanne, what about the threesome?
Oh, no. No. Actually, you know what? This year has been a year of high stress. So I put all that behind me. And I'm focusing on just one person at a time.
Oh, good.
And it's just, I must say, it's been a delight. Capricorn's been winning in my book.
surprise.
My rising sign is Capricorn, so I tend to get along with Capricorns really well. And so I must say mine's going beautifully. And I got banned. Did you know that this is real? You could get banned from Tinder. I got banned from Tinder.
Why?
I got banned from Hinge.
How?
What?
Apparently, if you get banned, you're banned for a lifetime. You can never dispute it.
No, but what did you do
and
to
you
get banned?
You could never know
why. What happened?
You never know why.
I asked. They won't even tell me. So I tell them, the only thing I say is, hello, how are you? What sign are you? And do you cook? Okay, what kinds of things do you
do
enjoy doing?
Do you cook or fuck?
Yeah,
or
cook.
Okay.
So they have each one checked into my, profile, and they're like, oh, yeah, you violated our terms. Won't tell me what I did to violate the terms. And they're like, sorry, there is no contesting. I'll never be able to be on Tinder or Hinge again with the same phone number.
Okay, so you have to.
Wow.
I see. You can
That's
still
disgusting.
Be on.
Who cares?
Do you think, like, do you think if you Maybe had a different number and you were on it with your same profile pic, they would catch you?
Yeah, because so then I got those fake numbers to attach it, and like Tinder caught on, but Hinge didn't. But I'm just like, forget it. So I'm on the Her app, and I'm on Bumble, and
Hey,
maybe it's your girlfriend's way of sabotaging you so you can't date anybody else.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, maybe someone likes you on, like, at the head of Tinder and the head of Hinge, and they don't want you out there.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually, there's a psycho, like, FBI stalker in our community.
That
I have a feeling had something to do with it.
All right, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going on way too long about this. Cara, how's your dating going?
Well, not good.
No?
No, not really. Not great. But good things come out of it, because about a year and a half ago, I dated this guy briefly. I met him on, like, one of those horrible sites. I'm not on them anymore. They're ghastly. He was a predator, actually, obviously, when I look back on it. But he was fun, and we recently...
You have a way of collecting them.
I'm afraid I do. And I recently was re-chatting with him, and I said, well, let's meet, see how you are, whatever. But he was obviously, he knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I just wasn't not interested, and I didn't go there. And I was quite amazed at myself, really, in a way, because it could have been like a free seeing to. But I just didn't like his heart. I just did not like his heart.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting thing. Do you remember last year we had Wanda Bynatz on the show?
Yep.
She's a wonderful psychic, and she's an older lady. She's 82. But once you get her going, it all comes out. You can ask her any questions. And a year and a half ago when he dumped me, I was so upset. And she said, you know, one day he'll be back, she said. And I got a feeling you won't even want him. She was absolutely right. And she said, there's not just another woman while you're dating this man. There's two other women. So I asked him, just, you know, chatty chat, have a glass of wine. There were two other women. Was there another woman, wasn't there? And there was.
Mm.
Are you still?
She's good.
So you're still using or calling Wanda?
Yeah, I spoke to her maybe a couple of months ago.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She really
is. I need somebody. Can I get her?
She's very spiritual, you know, and she gives you guidance to help you, I don't know, date better.
And Margie, are you just dating, or you're just focused on nomading?
Well, if dating occurs, I'm definitely dating. I've met hiking buddies. So it turns out the gay community in Tucson seems to not do things together. I found two activity groups in the meetup. Uh-oh. And one, it's all men showing up, which is great. Good for them. And the other groups I found, I found two women to go hiking with. But they're lovely women. And wasn't a connection with one of them. The other one, I think, got shy, so maybe.
And Ronnie, we're not talking to you because you're married.
She's a married woman.
And Cheryl, who never divulges anything about her romantic life.
I'm not dating right now. But I think it's more by choice. I just really seem to be enjoying, you know, my work and my family. I don't know. I just haven't put myself out there, so to speak, lately. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean,
I have a lot of good friends. But
yeah, no, that's no I'm dating. With you right now. I'm good. And I'm good friending. You know, I haven't dated for a while because I had a lot of responsibilities and stuff. And there was sort of like no room to have a girlfriend. And now that I have room to have a girlfriend, and I've been looking at these lovely sites, not a one piques my interest. And it's not like there's a problem. It's, you know, there are some pretty women on these mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And it just, I look at them and go, yep, swipe. So I think I personally, I don't think I'm in that mode to be dating. Although there's this one woman I have met. She's really cool. We haven't met. She lives on the East Coast. She's supposedly coming back and forth. We'll see if she comes to my party. She seems really nice. But I don't know. And I don't know if, like I said, I don't know. It's not even I'm ready to date. I think because I haven't really had been able to be spontaneous or have the freedom that I have mm-hmm. now, I'm like, do I really? And then I have people, friends of mine that are dating in that honeymoon dating stage. And you get the, I can't do this. I have to check with my partner.
Oh, that's the worst.
Or I can't commit because I have to check with my partner. Or, oh, yeah, let's do something. Oh, got to cancel. I got to do something with my partner. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I am not in a relationship because if that's what it is,
that's why I stay out of them.
Then
I stay out of them because I don't want to have to constantly.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, in a relationship, I'm independent. I am an independent person. In a relationship, mm-hmm. I am still want to be an independent person. So let's talk about that, people.
Yes.
When you're in relationships, and Ronnie, you're married, but mm-hmm. you know, when you're in relationships, I mean, like. Do you have to, like, A, tell your partner every fucking thing you do?
No.
B, hold on. Okay. B, do you have to check with them? Like, if you want to go out with your friends, you have to say, is it okay? Not that you're getting permission, but, you know, what I'm being told, it's like out of respect. And I'm thinking, I don't get it. And maybe I'm just not even though I've been in all these long-term maybe mm-hmm. I'm not relationship material. I'm kind of confused now. So
you're your relationship material, your kind of relationship for what you want. I personally tell my husband where I'm going. He doesn't ask, but I do it for security purposes. It's like, if she's not home by 4, something's wrong. There's been a crime, you know? So I do it because I want to be safe. But yeah, the more mature you are and the more secure you are in your relationship, you don't have to, but it is out of respect, and also because it's good to know where they are just in case anything happens, you know, car accident or something. It's just good to check in. But also, Amara, to answer your question, around the holidays, I think people just like being romantic, you know.
Yes,
they want to date,
of course. Yeah, it is a romantic time of year.
Love Actually.
Yeah, I mean, they have the New Year's party coming up, and you know, it's time to get together and to be social.
Hey, don't people fix each other up anymore? Like, you know, so many people, Gay Ann, and use the same Cheryl. Don't people want to fix you up?
You know,
they just
what?
Know better?
This has been my issue a very long time. Yes, I have a million people that I know. You would think someone goes, hey, I have a friend that I'd like you to meet. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I don't know if it happens in the straight world, but I heard it happens more in the straight world than the gay world, mm-hmm. to be honest. Yeah. So, no. I mean, and I will actually put it out there. Don't you anybody even know anybody I like to, you know, because, you know, then you kind of know they come with a stamp of approval. It's that they're not like psychotic because you know someone that you like and they know someone. So they're not going to jeopardize your friendship and set you up with psycho bitch.
That's true.
One would think, but no, it doesn't happen. Not to me anyway.
Strange.
But I even go on the fucking show and say, hello, I'm single. I will see, you know, reach out to me. Not a one. And I know, I'm not insecure to think, oh, I'm fucked up or I'm not attractive, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that. I just don't understand why. For me or anybody else. I mean, look at Mara. She's stunning too. I mean, I don't say Tristan Roxanne. Because she's always out there. But I mean, look at these beautiful women that are on this show, that are peripherally related to the show. You know, we're all beautiful women. I don't understand why. And if one of my friends says one more fucking time, you are such wife material, I'm going to throttle that bitch, you know?
Well, I'm in the kind of dilemma where when I go out, I feel like I don't fit in when I do go to the clubs or whatever, the gay clubs, because I'm not all tatted up and pierced. I mean, I have one tattoo.
Well, neither am I.
You know, I'm not as young as a lot of the girls that are, a lot of the people that are going out there.
Which is why I don't go out with you people, because they could be my children.
No, but it's just, I feel like I'm just not in the right place when I go to those things. I don't know why. It's just, I don't fit in.
Well, honey bunny, we're the same. I'm not tatted up. I'm not pierced up. And we're about the same age, but I feel like, you know what it was, because granted, like what Gayanne said, I do go to places where the majority of people are younger than me. It made me feel uncomfortable. But then afterwards, I realized they're younger than me. However, they're all age ranges, really. Just the majority of them might be younger than me.
I disagree.
But
I've seen the photos.
Of all mixed in. And, but so now it's just like being able to relate to them, like, on a human level experience has just been wonderful.
That's good.
And in this way, I don't feel out of place anymore, because I totally understand what that feels like. And Gayanne, you make the best points about, you know, if I get into a relationship, am I going to lose my independence, which is now I'm calling like autonomy, right? And that's actually something that I've been working on the last couple of weeks. Because I have that, you know, we've all shared that mentality. If I have to check in or tell you where I'm going or something, why do I want a relationship? Well, you know what? I have finally realized, and God has finally shown to me, it's because I've chosen the wrong people. Because when you choose the right people, you're not checking in.
I realize I have to date me. Yes. I'll be happy if I this opposites attract bullshit ain't going to work. I have to date someone like me. And I do know, you know, like, for example, look, Ronnie, look, when I go out or whatever, I'll say, hey, I'm going there. And there's a difference between me saying it and having someone demand I check in. And there's a big difference. I'll tell you, and it's not secret. You know, it's like if I'm like going out after work, well, for example, you know, I'll call my partner, and I've done this. Hey, I'm going out with some friends after work. Okay, you good? We're good. Bye.
Yeah.
No problem. I don't think that's a problem. Well, you know, some people would say, like, you know, wow, you know, you should ask your partner if she wants to come. I know my partner well enough that if I call her at 6 o'clock and say, I'm going out after work, you want to meet us in 20 minutes? She's going to go, hell no, I'm in my pajamas already. I'm staying home, you know? So I think, you know, a relationship, like, there's that fantasy definition of a relationship that I found. And people think if they live by that fantasy, then they're in a perfect relationship. What I always say to people is, a perfect relationship is between you and your partner based on the agreements and the comfortability that you two make. And if someone tells you that you have a shitty relationship because you're not doing this and you're not doing that, you know, they have no fucking business to make a comment, because it's what works between the two people. And if what works between the two people, everybody's happy.
Yeah. I want to say something about this, Gayanne.
Go ahead, Margie.
In my experience, you know, I've been involved in the kink world for a really long time. And I think one of the things that happens in that world is negotiation and understanding core values. I think a lot of times we date people that don't share the same core values we do, but we don't think to ask them if, like, for me, is that a core value to have to tell somebody where I'm going to go? If it's not a core value, I don't care. I don't mind telling them. I don't feel like my autonomy is gone. But if monogamy is a core value and somebody wants an open relationship or vice versa, that's never going to work. And I think these are the things we don't talk about up front, is what are deal breakers and what aren't.
Very sensible.
Mm-hmm. Right? If we talk about our deal breakers up front, we save a lot of time. You know, my prayer for partnership and why I've kind of, you know, I've been consciously single for almost 10 years. And my prayer is to find somebody who's complete and happy unto herself, and that I'm complete and happy unto myself, and we support and enhance each other's happiness.
That's the ideal. That's what I would look
forward to. That's ideal. Yeah. That doesn't put any, I don't know, looks, no job, and, you know, doesn't, that part doesn't matter.
And core values, yeah, that's so
core values
important.
Is it.
And the thing is, it's funny, I hope this isn't too out there, but then again, I'm saying this on here. We can have sex with somebody, right? But we can't talk about finances. We can't talk about our values and our deal breakers, but we can have sex with you, which is much more intimate. I mean, that's really strange. So yeah, you got to be able to just say, hey, this is what I am. These are my ideals. This is who I am.
And I would suggest that sometimes we mistake sex for intimacy. That isn't intimacy, that's sex.
Yeah,
right? Intimacy is letting somebody actually see who I am, not
what's it into. What is it? Into me, I see.
Into me, see.
The problem is, once you get the old pork dagger, you're done for.
Well, you
because you go into that crazy place.
I wouldn't know that. And pork dagger doesn't thrill
pork
me.
Dagger.
I put it on the Barbie. No, I mean, I am a little bit of shallow, Hal. I mean, I will admit. I mean,
because you care what someone looks like.
That's absolutely,
not, that's not shallow.
I'm shallow,
shallow at all.
I don't think that's shallow.
It's
for
just
me,
your preference.
I
have to be attracted.
I have to be physically attracted to somebody.
To be.
And you know, someone goes, "Gayanne, you're so shallow, Hal." You know, you have to look at the inside of the problem. But if I got to sleep with someone, I'm sorry, and I have to be sexual, it's got to turn me on. Sorry.
Yeah.
And their core values at that point, I'm not looking at core values. Core values aren't sexy to me. You know what I mean?
Well, you're not shallow, number one. You have an attraction to somebody is important, to have a physical attraction. And then you look at the person, who they are on the inside. Mm-hmm.
And then they become more attractive.
Or less.
Or less. Very true.
You know, because I have dated somebody who was not my type whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Body type,
happen.
I mean, nothing.
Mm-hmm. That can happen.
But the insides were just so beautiful. And that actually ended up being one of the first people I actually fell head over heels in love with. So, you know, it just, like, I love what Marguerite said. It's just, like, in the kink world, it's very much laid out of, you know, this is what I'm looking for, and this is what I want, and you put your deal breakers out.
The kink world. Can you please educate some
Get
of us?
Get in the damn mic.
Can you
give
educate
us a rundown, Marguerite.
Can you educate
Marguerite can
some
educate.
Of us about the kink world? Because I don't really know what you guys mean.
Okay, Cheryl's going to turn red in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay.
Here we go.
So there's this broad umbrella of... Well, one of my dear friends who was a heterosexual pro-dom in the 90s, she's called it adventurous sex. And in fact, there's a woman named Fetish Diva Midori out of San Francisco.
I know Midori.
Right. So Midori's a lovely person. And it's adventurous sex. So, you know, think of, now 50 Shades of Grey is rubbish in that world. It's, we would never do that kind of stuff. And if you did, that person would be blackballed from the community. But, it's negotiating anything that's outside of mainstream missionary position relationship type sex. Some people like to be blindfolded. Some people like to be tied. Some people, you know, we have 7.8 billion different neurophysiologies on the planet. Some people just don't get off. Some people you can breathe on them and they'll orgasm.
Yeah, right.
Right? Other people take a lot of work to get into their heads and get it all going. And so that's extreme adventurous sex, where you've heard of things like whips and things like that. That's when tools and toys come in. And so there's safe, sane, consensual. That's like the big umbrella. And so if two people agree and it's sane and it's safe, and part of the safe and sanity is no substances, no alcohol, no drugs. If somebody's into cannabis, because you have to both agree. Or if you both agree one drink is okay, that's still in the realm of safety. But if you go to a party, no alcohol, no drugs, ever, right? And once you've started, you know, sexual activity alters our brain chemistry. Endorphins get released. And we even in that world understand you don't renegotiate once you've started, because your chemicals are different in your brain and you're no longer sober. That's, you know,
true.
Mm-hmm. Oxytocin's huge.
Yeah.
And it's a drug. And we make a lot of decisions. Pillow talk is decisions on drugs, right? So it's adventurous sex in a safe fashion, where people teach each other how to do it safely, how to be safe, how to recognize predators, and how to get your needs met if you're way out there on the fringe, right? And, you know, here's the things that are really not safe and we're not going to allow, like the big general rules I always remember is no animals, no kids, nobody that can't give consent.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just safe, sane, and consensual. And if you keep it in this umbrella, then people can do wild things and really have a fun time in a way other people couldn't imagine.
You mean like dress like a llama? Well, how wild are we getting here?
Well, here's the difference. Dressing like a llama and renting one, that's a deal breaker.
If it's a real llama, we're not going to have sex with it.
Is that considered a furry? If it's
yes,
a llama?
Furry, people who dress in furry costumes. Yes, there's a lot of anonymity that goes on. So there can be costuming. It can be a lot of fun.
Wow.
And very mysterious.
It does sound kind of fun. I'm terrified.
I was just invited to a party at a dungeon for the
I'm
holidays.
I'm so going with you.
Was it a Christmas-themed one?
It's coming up.
Okay, I'm
was
going with you.
Is that that person that was on your show last year?
Yeah, Justine
She's
Cross.
Fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Justine.
Oh, yeah, Justine.
She invited me
she
to
was,
her.
She was great.
I've been
I
to her,
her.
Her things before. I will so go with you.
Yeah, I know you will.
I could go as your protection and keep you safe.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm so famous. I need a bodyguard and my assistant.
There you go.
Think of me at the podcast version of a Britney Spears. You know.
Yes. So you know, kink is super duper 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 fun because you know when you have sex with the same person.
Super duper. I don't know if I could have sex with someone that goes super duper duper duper
because you don't understand how super duper 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 fun it is.
But
like when you have sex with the same person, after a while, it could get a little stagnant. So it's nice to mix things up sometimes.
With that person or just a different person?
With that person.
Oh.
Yeah, but it depends too. But with that person, because when I'm dating someone, I am monogamous. When I'm not, then I'm not. But so there's like, it's like I view it as artwork. Like you have a blank canvas and you can paint and do whatever you want. Of course, like with the person's consent. So I love sensation play and power play and edge play. It is amazing. So sensation play is like literally you use tools to like heighten the sensation in your body.
Like feathers and shit?
Yeah.
No, jackhammer.
Well, I heard that about you,
Mara. Yeah, and like...
You're impenetrable unless there's machinery involved.
Start the vacuum.
And then like power play is just like that, as you know, kind of being a little bit forceful. Edge play is using actual like tools that are sharp, where you can get hurt, but you trust the person that's not going to hurt you, and it heightens sensations. And when you put your body through all that, and you know, if you're tied down to a bed and blindfolded, you know, when you get to the orgasm part, it's like just the most amazing orgasm on the entire planet because your body already went through all that. So it just, you know, in the kink world, it's endless.
You're looking right at me as if you think that I have boring sex. I have done it. She's like looking at me going, Gan, maybe you need to check. No, I've been tied up. I've been.
Wow, you guys.
I have been blindfolded.
Have you had the vampire gloves and the pinwheel?
Oh, those are fun.
Because those are my favorite. Vampire gloves? I will do the vampire gloves and the pinwheel.
Have you been on a St. Andrew's cross?
Well, who hasn't?
You know what?
Cheryl,
I don't know what they're talking about.
I'm going to tell you the reason why.
Cheryl,
you can say red
you've been on the
same.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Cheryl raised her hand.
quite the education.
Okay.
I have to say that, you know, like you said, as long as it's consensual, but, you know, it's really the attraction lies, as you said, not only physically, but in the heart, in the mind, in the soul. Mm-hmm. There's so much of an energy connection and we're all so much more sensitive, right? That it can even be heightened because of that, because we're opening up intuitively, because we're opening up, you know, to new experiences too. I think what Roxanne, you're talking about is, you know, having an open mind, open heart, like, you know, come with your imagination, right? Be creative. And that can be a lot of fun, right? That can be very, you know, very romantic also.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can have deep, deep intimacy. It's called vanilla sex. I can do that. And it's wonderful. And the reason why...
Can you just turn off her mic? I'm done.
And no, the reason why I've never been on the cross is because I'm a dom and the sub will be on the cross.
I don't even know what you
but see,
are talking
about. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, sweetheart. You haven't lived till you've done both sides. So, Margie, go ahead.
Wait, I just wanted to say...
I'm flexible.
Please explain I'm the cross put you on the cross for those of us that
don't know. I'm going to explain a little bit of something to people. Have you guys ever seen the white, black, and blue flag?
Yeah.
No.
With the heart in it, right?
It's at every gay pride, by the way.
Right. That's the leather pride flag. And it's about, you know, the person who conceived of it conceived that the black and blue is representative of, it can be representative of the marks. The white is the safety. And the heart, the red is the heart. When I connect with somebody in we call it play. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's play. We're having fun. I'm a switch. So I like both positions. And so tops typically like to be in a dominant position, but people in powerful positions in the world often like to go into a bottom space mm-hmm. to not be in control for a little while. Right. And people who don't, you know, being a dominant is so much fun because mm-hmm. whenever I'm in that position, people, I'm like, this person is letting me do this to them. And I can't tell you, sometimes my mind gets so blown at some of the things that I've been able to do and learn and experience in that world that have opened my mind and my heart. And that's what I want to say is it's not just, we're not beating each other up. It's not like that at all. It's, wow, we're like, in fact, one of the psychic, one of my astrology readings called it sophisticated sex. That my something about my planets in Uranus, ha ha ha, is that was funny.
But you know, it's not the only thing in Uranus, ha ha ha.
the planet Uranus, it was some people are drawn towards sophisticated sex. And I always like that word, that set of words, because it's like, well, why? Yeah, it takes a lot more education than turning out the lights and fucking, right? Yeah. And so that's what I love about it is the things I can ask for and find the person who wants to do that with joy, or as one friend says, glee and enthusiasm. There's nothing better than that. And somebody who gives me the same gift of their, we call it submission, it's a gift and we share this gift together. And so it's like having a deep, intimate, you know, wonderful dinner and, you know, passionate lovemaking at any level. We just do a lot more foreplay.
Exactly. Yes. Now explain, now quickly foreplay. Explain to right. Mara what the Saint is cross, and then we're moving on.
So everybody's familiar with the Christian cross or the yeah. actual.
This sounds like it's going to be blasphemous.
No.
Hold on. Said by the Jew. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
No. She's coming with us to the party.
Yeah. But anyway, people use them. It's two boards that you prop up and you can attach somebody to them with restraint so that they're in a position and not moving as a target.
Got it. It's actually quite.
It does seem very blasphemous to me when you do stuff like that on a cross. Don't you think?
You can do blasphemous things with a cross for sure. I certainly had a wonderful time.
I'm not religious at all.
I don't want to know what anyone's doing with a cross.
I'm not.
No, I had a wonderful Easter weekend one time, and I'll just say.
But we're cross shaped. We are cross shaped.
Yeah, we are. So, Margie, I just looked up my Uranus is in Scorpio. What does that mean?
Oh, you're a little more secretive and private about it.
No, I'm not.
No, she's not. This one has sex, and she posts pictures of it on Facebook. So
no, I don't.
You have a live channel.
I'm going to get paid more money. I should just open an OnlyFans.
I'm just kidding.
You know, we need to have Zumi on the show so she can do more of that astrology. She's way better at that than I am. I'm a dabbler. I really know different aspects of things. But I don't know what that means exactly. I'd have to go into my book and look.
I have a totally different topic here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank God. I saw this on Facebook. I was scrolling through. Would you, if you could know the future and if you could know when and how your demise will be, would you want to know and would you?
Yes.
No, I have a question.
Really?
So if you knew the future, you know, if you knew the future and what your demise would be, okay?
Yeah.
Does that mean that if you knew the future, can you alter what the demise would be?
No, you wouldn't be able to. Like, this is just to know what's going to happen at the end for you.
But so that you doesn't can't prevent it, knowing there's a car accident. You can't prevent and know not to go out that day in your car.
No, you just have to. The point is no, the, I personally would not, but Roxanne said she would.
I would.
Hell yeah.
Why would you guys want to know how you're going to die?
I would want to know how I'm going to die I don't care, because I think that there's nothing, I think you can alter stuff. And mm-hmm. Cheryl would know better, and Marja would know better. I think if someone said, Gayanne, if it's something like medical, like you're going to die from this condition, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to be 80. Well, you know what? I'm going to start researching that and trying to do the best that I can to try and prevent it. That's what I would do.
But what if it was a car accident?
Well, then I would just be sure that, you know, I would just be much more aware and alert, and like for sure not like text when I'm driving or read that text or be on the phone.
You've changed the question completely.
I have not.
Yeah, because she said if you can't change the future. So that means you can't do anything that makes it
better. No, I don't believe you can't change the future.
Oh.
That is why I'm saying I do believe we can change the future of things. Now again, I speak to Cheryl. I ask Cheryl because she's more versed on can you change the future?
Absolutely. I mean, this is what, you know, Bruce Lipton and Deepak Chopra and Greg Braden talk about when they talk about the biology of belief, you know, is changing your cells and changing your genes with, you know, positive thoughts, affirmation, self-love, kindness, a positive outlook.
And the thing is, Cheryl, if you knew what something was coming, but supposedly, Mara, if you can't change the future, you probably will change a lot of things leading up to it. And I believe in the butterfly effect. If all of a sudden you change how you treat people or how you deal with things, or you start doing the bucket list, other people are also affected by that.
Yeah.
And it's a ripple effect. Therefore, you're changing the future.
Right? Okay, so I have a technique. I was listening to this podcast. Actually, I've been listening to her. Her name is Cara Lowenthal. It's called Unfuck Your Brain, and it's all about – it's kind of a feminist podcast where she has guests on and all, but it's all about rewiring your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the latest one I listened to yesterday, this woman, this guest that she had on it, was saying every morning you should high-five yourself in the mirror. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah. I mean, yes. There's a lot of, you know, she's not unique. There's a lot of people that have done that. I mean, like, I've read a few of his books, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, I was just going to say Joe
Dispenza. He is very much that kind of person. I mean, even amongst the goddess group that we have, I mean, you know, I remember somebody saying to me, like, when you get up in the morning, you know, stand naked in front of your mirror and just praise your body, praise you, who you are, you know, that you're beautiful, that you're this. So, I mean.
Well, this is different because this, what she was saying about this high five thing is that it's an action. So you don't really have to believe it. Like if you stood in front of the mirror and you didn't believe what you were saying, it's not going to do much for you. But if you do an action.
Yeah.
The what is it called? The body's somatic healing itself, like the whole study of the body, the whole study of the body is supposed to like trigger your. It's supposed to trigger you.
Plus, Mara, it's a reward. We are habits, and our identity are habits. When you have an immediate reward, your brain is wired to, okay, that's good. Something good comes out of that.
Right.
If it's a long term, I'm going to have a great thing on the weekend to reward myself, or a month from now, or a year from now. Humans, especially nowadays, don't like the long-term reward. We want immediate reward. So if you look at yourself and you high-five yourself and you get in a good mood, that's an immediate reward. So your brain knows, like, oh, that's a good thing to do, and then you feel that happiness.
But you know what? This translates into that very old scientific thing by a gentleman named Pavlov, the Pavlov dog.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, now the humans are catching up to it, but that's sort of what they did to the dogs, the Pavlov's dogs. They got immediate reward. The minute they got a reward, they reacted. They did what they do. And now it's like, I mean, you get an immediate reward. then you do that. I mean, you do that with even people. You know, if you're having a difficult discussion with someone or there's someone that's hard, you know, you find out, at least I do, I find out what makes them tick. And I go into myself and go, why am I having a hard time dealing with this person? What are they doing that's setting me off? And then I go from their point of view, and then I actually give them maybe not action rewards, but I give them verbal rewards. I find out what they respond to, what's effective communication for them, and I become then the catalyst to reward them, to sort of break that ice, show them I am open, and then it's a flow, it becomes a flow.
Do you mean, how do you reward them? Like validating what they're saying, mirroring them?
No, I don't mirror anybody. But I don't think that's correct to do. I don't like mirroring someone because then you're not being your true authentic self if what you're mirroring is not who you are.
Unless it's you're doing it because you don't realize you're doing it.
Right. I mean, that's subconscious. Then you're in sync and that's just normal. But I mean, how do I reward someone? Like if I know someone is, let's say, having body issues. They have body issues. Most of us have body issues. I'm not going to lie and go, oh my God, you look like you lost 50 pounds. But I will subtly give them a compliment that is genuine. And they respond. So, I mean, it is the art of, you know, I mean, it is the art of learning how to read people and how to communicate. And it starts with whoever the person is to have that openness. And there are a lot of people that aren't open. They're shut down. And that is, I kind of find it fun because that's a challenge for me to sort of break down that wall. And I do it every day with actors. Yeah. I do it every day with actors. Mm-hmm. Every day because they have to trust me. They're trusting me with their image.
It's true, yes.
They are trusting me to, you know, and sometimes I meet them for 15 minutes, like at a pilot shoot. You know, sometimes I have a history with these actors, but sometimes it's like I just did a shoot on a show not that long ago, and there was an actor. He wasn't famous to me, but he's done stuff, but I didn't know who the frick he was. And he's, wow. I mean, any guy would go, wow, I want to be him. I mean, he was like Adonis, like he was just beautiful. He stepped on the seamless in front of the light, and he was very awkward. And you could see him, he was starting to sweat. I mean, you could just see he was unnerved because you have people staring at you. It's not natural to have a photo shoot. It really isn't. And I just saw that. And he was shooting, but I said, you know what? Let's take a break. And I called him over and I said, come on, let's go. Let's have a talk. We're taking a few minutes. And I sat there for 20 minutes and found out sort of what was going on with him. And letting him talk and me sort of reiterating that, you know, and it's a whole body language. Like when you're on that position like me, it's a body language. It's not just what you say. It's looking them in the eye. It's how you talk, your tonality, what your gestures are to make that person feel safe. To make that, you can sit there, you can trust me. It's a whole thing that the body has to do to really reciprocate. And you have to be genuine too, because I'm genuine when I do it. But I had to sit there for 20 minutes to convince this guy that, you know, I have your back. And I said, you know, if you're not feeling comfortable, you know, come back later. We've got 100 other people to do. You know, take a break. He did, and he came back. And when he came back, he didn't feel awkward. He was joking. He wasn't sweating. And, you know, after he hugged me and he said, you know, thank you. I've done a million of these. Thank you so much. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's being your true authentic self, opening yourself up, reading the other person and knowing or trying, sensing, not even knowing, opening up that energy so you can sense what they're feeling and be reactive toward it and help. Go ahead, talk.
I agree 100%.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Robert, people are saying that they're calling and it goes directly. It says phone goes into a voice message called Live Groove.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay. It's 323-524-2599. Try that again because, Barbara, it seems that that's not the thing. So it's 323-524-2599, and we haven't gotten any calls.
I agree 100%. I think you hit the nail on the head, because I've done many photo shoots where I feel completely awkward and uncomfortable. And it's because I think there's hundreds of shots being taken, and it's not like you're posing with friends where you have some sort of feeling comfortable, and you know that they're going to be getting angles that you hate and that you're not going to like. and it's just about, like, then you get in your head, like, am I smiling the right way? Am I looking the right way? Mm-hmm. Do I have this the right way? Are they going to get the right angle? And then it's just like a whole psychological thing that just ends up just messing with my head. And so, but I never really thought about it before, but it does come down to trust, because I've never trusted anyone I've done a photo shoot with, nor have they even bothered to do what you just talked about doing and talking to me and just like breathing through things and just talking through things. So then eventually after a while, when I do photo shoots, I just learn to ignore the camera how I have to ignore the camera when I do acting, and imagine as if there's just nobody there, and just go do, like, I take myself through every single emotion as if my friends are there, and just ignore the camera. That's what I end up having to do in order to get the good shots. But but I think that would be great, like, if every person can
which is
that.
Why I'm really good at what I do, and I've been doing it for 30 years, not to toot my own horn.
I mean
think about just for me, and I speak for myself. I go through life meeting people, and I really have to trust. I mean, trust is huge for me, to trust that person. And if I don't trust, then they're not going to get or see the true authentic me. What do you guys think about trust? Trust in friendships, trust in work, trust in relationships.
If number one. If you don't have trust.
Number
with
one,
someone,
loyalty and, and trust.
Yeah, if you don't have for me, if I don't trust somebody, there's no way there could be a relationship either, like, of any kind.
I think trusting yourself is huge, too.
Oh, very true.
I think when we begin to trust ourselves and that instinct, you know, that sixth sense, then it will guide us. We have to trust that. We have to trust that gut feeling we have.
And you know what's funny, Cheryl, is we all have that gut feeling, because we do. But it's like, how many times, all of us here, you have the gut feeling, you fight the gut feeling, you go opposite of what the gut says, and you end up in the position that you shouldn't been in if you would have trusted your gut feeling.
Well, I don't not listen to my gut anymore. I haven't, not ever. I always do.
Yeah, usually when you think something's wrong or you don't trust somebody and you're second guessing it, it's like, if you feel like something's wrong, there probably is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I don't think, like what Roxanne was saying, it's because of lack of confidence, because she has every reason to be self-confident, but she would, it's just normal. So if somebody like Gayanne or somebody told her, you feel a little fearful, well, that's normal. And then you start trusting them. It's like, yeah, they can relate. But when somebody starts yanking your chain just because they want to get the shot out of the way, come on, we got a thing. Oh, but no, but you look beautiful. You're gorgeous. It's all going to be perfect. Oh, these are great shots. He's the best photographer. It's like, calm down.
I'll tell you the buzz line that really calms people down. You'll have full approval. So that puts, because it's all about control. Someone in the front of the camera, the reason why they're all jacked up is because they feel they have no control. So you're a control freak, my dear. So number one, you know, I sit there and I go, you will have 100%, not 100%, but, you know, approval rights. That calms people down. And then the second buzzword is, don't worry, we'll retouch everything you don't like.
I love that.
That's good.
I just wish I was nice. One of those lucky people that had to do photo shoots. So that never happens to me.
We'll do one.
You're
gorgeous.
Oh, well, come on.
You're gorgeous.
You are, Mara.
Thanks.
Look at her.
Sorry. No, I mean, I, I have gotten nervous, like, when I've been asked to be on camera, just at random times, which is so few and far between. And I don't like...
You're fine here.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're not nervous, are you?
No. But I mean, I guess I'm thinking about the time when this was in a model kind of environment, and I was just... what do you call it? Like letting them take lighting tests, and I had to stand there for the lighting. Not even for me. No, they didn't want me. They just wanted someone to stand there for the lighting, and it was really. I was really nervous.
You know what? So many talent that I've worked with, they're like, photos are so hard because you're freeze framing me, and when I see those photos, you see every imperfection, mm-hmm. as opposed to motion. You know, if you're in you're in movement, you know, no one's like zoning in on that zit, or no one's zoning in on that scar that you have that you think is like all over your face, but it's about this big.
Ooh,
you know,
I love what I mean? Scars.
But I mean, it's photography. Yeah, look, I work in it. I've worked in it for 33 years almost. I don't love being in front of the camera. I mean, I would rather do this. I don't love photos. I don't. And it's not because of that. It's because I just don't like them. I don't like
them. What do you mean you don't like photos?
I like photos too. I guess because I work in that profession, and this is my issue. You know, I photograph some of the most beautiful people in the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there going, they think they look like shit. And then I'm thinking, looking at them, knowing how fucking hot they are or handsome. And I'm thinking, well, I'm nowhere near that. So why the hell would I want to take a picture? Because I'm just as bad as they are. You know what I mean? I'm sitting here. And when people take pictures of me, and not only just here, but even when I have to do the lighting test, because the talent hasn't come and I do the lighting test, I'll sit there and it's all digital, and then I'll look at it and I'll highlight it and delete and put in trash.
Oh, really? You're going to take it away. Can I ask a question? Because I've only ever seen it done once. And is it ubiquitous now? People get their face sprayed.
Yeah, people still do it.
Is that, do you have that?
It's makeup.
Spray on the makeup.
Yeah.
The airbrush with
makeup. A lot of brides do it, and for that, like that one day, or to cover a tattoo for their wedding dress, and it's just really light and misty.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's cool. I've had it done.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually it's not like cakey. And another thing, when you spray it on, like, and some actresses do that, some actors, but it's sort of like throughout, like, you know, usually you're working, you get the hair and makeup done at like 7 to 9, okay. And then you're working until 9 p.m. Well, you're doing scenes, so you're getting touch-ups and stuff, and it keeps caking on and caking on and caking on. And now with HD, you know, everything's HD, you know, you can't retouch. You can color correct on the back end with film, but you can't, like a photo is a lot easier. It gets erased if you want it erased. If you do that, you know, they then, throughout the day, it stays a lot. It's kind of like, it stays on you. I mean, it's like painted on. So it doesn't do anything. And maybe if you get a little bit of a shine, then they'll powder puff this or they'll powder puff that.
Wow.
So it's all over the place. I want to ask you guys something. I don't care about my looks anymore. I used to, up to a certain point. But I think if I were jealous of anyone to get my husband's attention, or back in the day, a boyfriend's attention, I can't compete with looks, because they're going to look how they're going to look, and I'm going to look how I'm going to look. And if I'm good with my body and my face, so be it. I've got wrinkles. What I'm fearful of is someone who is either more intelligent or more clever or wittier than me. I'm fearful of competing with their intelligence or their knowledge or their education.
I always have something to say. You know what I find, and this is my theory, so don't bank on it. Slam me if you want. The pretty girls who've been pretty their whole life have that issue, and the intellectual, clever ones, we have the issue about the beauty. Wow. My opinion. Only my opinion.
I don't know.
I'm just afraid of being dumb. in front of somebody and the girl outsmarts me, well, I'd be embarrassed.
I mean, look, my whole life it was like, oh, you're cute. Oh, but you're really intelligent, or you're brilliant, or you're funny, or you're smart, or you're witty. And I literally, as a kid, would say, can somebody just one fucking day, I'm so tired of that bullshit, can they just fucking tell me that I'm beautiful and I'm hot?
Never mind. See,
don't pay attention to the phone.
I don't care if I get called dumb because I always do. I mean,
not dumb, but
like growing up in high school and everything, I was, my nickname was Mallory from Family Ties.
That's fun.
If you guys, those of you that know that show, Mallory was the, you remember,
the sister.
Alex Keaton was the Airhead. And I kind of played into that role because when somebody says that about you all the time, you know, if the shoe fits, not dumb, but like just very airheady. But that never bothered me, though.
No, huh?
Mm-mm. Nope.
No, people always said I was a go-getter from a little kid to today. So I guess that's what they see me as. I'm tenacious. I'm not brilliant. I'm not an intellectual, but they always see me like, hand it to Ronnie, she'll get it done. So I was kind of in the middle between being cute enough, like a Katie Couric, I would say. She's not beautiful, but she was cute, so mm-hmm. she doesn't piss off a lot of women. Mm-hmm. But so I didn't rely on my looks, and I didn't rely on just being an intellectual. I was kind of in the middle. But that's always my fear. If I had to compete with anybody, I wouldn't want to compete with somebody who's really brilliant, you know?
Hey, you know what? I mean, I was always popular. I wasn't always popular. I wasn't popular because everyone thought I was like a brainiac and a nerdy sort of thing. So how I got through high school and even in grammar school and college is I dumbed myself down.
Ooh.
I dumbed myself down so I could fit in. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, they're like, you know, and it was weird because like I was the valedictorian or I was the 4.0 average throughout my whole life. So I couldn't hide it in grades that I was smart and intellectual. Mm. But to just fit in, I dumbed myself down.
That's lonely, isn't it?
No, it's not lonely. I mean, I did find people that were intellectual and quirky and fit that category.
I just mean to have to dull your shine and dull your intelligence.
Well, but you know, you're talking about like grammar school and high school.
Yeah, it wasn't considered.
You know, it wasn't considered. You're not one of the cool girls. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's reading like Tiger Beat and shit like that.
Yeah.
And you read that shit, but it really doesn't interest you. So you're reading like, you know, a fucking novel and you're not going to share that. You're not going to share. Oh, by the way, I'm reading A Wrinkle in Time. You know what I mean? Like, really? Like, that's really popular.
I loved friends like you in high school and in junior high and all that. Like, my best friends were brainy and silly and all that.
I like goofy and quirky and dorky. Like yeah.
I do too.
I just love it, and I don't really.
And yet again, proof I'm still single.
No, but I don't really think about like competing with other women. Like I never think of, you know, I would feel insecure if I wasn't like smart enough or pretty enough. For me, like if I'm dating somebody and someone like beautiful walks by, I'm like, you better share that view, fucker. You know, if you're like looking at someone hot, share the view. I want to see it too. So, for me, I don't really look at it like that. I mean, I guess I would feel maybe insecure if I felt like they had a connection, like for feeling, because I'm a feeling person, a feeling connection. But for anything else, I don't ever view it like that.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt. Robert. I have had three people say that they've called the 323-524-2599, and it says when it answers, we love live grooves is what's coming out. So
maybe we should call it right now and just test it.
All right, I'm gonna somebody call it.
Okay, I'll call and test.
Okay, hold on. I really want you guys to call in, and it doesn't surprise me that today's fucked. But we're going to test it.
I'm going to put on speaker. We're all going to hear right now.
We're going to hear what happens. Hold on.
Thank you for calling We Love Rare Grooves. Unfortunately, this show is currently offline.
Rare Grooves?
Oh.
So Rare Grooves is
offline.
So the number is tied in with the... Yeah. So...
The number's off.
Let's do some rare grooves for the audience.
I don't know what rare. Hold on, let me pull up my DJ in days. Just all right. So yeah, so it's not like I thought you guys were lying to me who were watching the show. Right. I don't want to ever think that. But like one person, maybe. But most of you, like all of you saying it, yeah, I get it. That's so funny. Everyone's calling in, checking it out as well.
Everyone wants to talk about sex again, I think.
I want to talk about this.
I mean, okay. Yes, so while they're trying to figure out why this is not working, on the Facebook page that you guys are watching the show, why don't you type in your questions and I will read them on the air and we can answer them. So type away and we'll just keep jabbering. I don't even know. How long have we been on air so far? Okay, we technically have 15 minutes left. So is that from the three or four false restarts?
So most annoying Christmas song on the radio that you have to change.
Anything by Mariah Carey.
Okay, honey, I don't even listen to the radio.
Well, it's most annoying Christmas song. Does anyone have one?
Yeah,
have
anything
one.
By Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Okay, mine is mine is the Karen Carpenter. And the Paul McCartney one, so this is Christmas. He sounds so depressed. Everybody's depressed.
Paul McCartney.
You know, but no, and then also the Santa, that one.
I never heard of that one.
Wilson Phillips.
I love all the Christmas songs. I love the bad ones better. Christmas Shoes is such a classic. Does anybody know Christmas Shoes?
I have never. Who? Christmas Shoes?
That one.
It's fabulous.
Oh, I hate Michael Jackson's one too.
Well, it's about the little boy in the shop and his mother's dying.
Oh yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
The man buys him the shoes so she can see Jesus when she dies in her shoes. It's
depressing.
It's so
I have never heard the Christmas Shoes.
Never
Tristan,
heard.
Pull it up on the line.
Christmas Shoes?
Christmas Shoes.
Okay. Christmas Shoes.
I also, what's the Michael Jackson 5 one that it's they play that Christmas one? Merry, Merry Christmas. What is that one? Oh, I hate that one.
Sweetheart, you're just too Jewish.
I love pets, but I can't stand dogs barking jingle bells or anything like that.
Well, you have to listen to cats meowing them. It's much better.
Christmas Shoes by New Song?
Probably.
All right, hold on. We're gonna see what this Christmas shoe thing is.
Okay, tell me if this is it.
Are you on speaker?
Oh, it's schmalky and schlocky and.
Am I depressing. Gonna
cry? Adele will do it next.
Is this it?
This is it?
Oh yeah, this is it, baby.
It sounds like a Celine Dion song.
Yeah, totally this one or don't?
I love it.
Okay.
It's awful.
I don't want to hear because it's making me cry already.
Who sings it?
It says New Song.
Okay.
The Christmas Shoe, New Song.
Okay, I'm going to go on record saying I think Adele is amazing. I do, but I don't like her songs. Can you
know,
that?
I don't like her new songs.
I like I've this new one listened. That I heard, but I don't, like, I've never, she's never really spoken to me personally because she's very, it's too depressing and intense all the time. Every song is so gut-wrenching. I don't know.
I love that she's so popular. I mean, she really, and
why are we
did anyone see?
Musicians?
Did anybody see her special on CBS?
Yes.
No.
I
don't watch TV.
I loved it.
Well, it's a look. Watch it. I mean, I worked on it. I worked on it. And she's a lovely woman. But I've met her many times with the Grammys. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go that night, but unfortunately, my mother was in the hospital, so I couldn't. But I didn't. I wasn't there. I just saw the photos that my photographer sent me, and then I just was like, I'm not going to watch it. Not that I dislike her. But it's like I lived it in a way. But then a friend of mine said, "Hey, we're getting together whatever night, like a couple of days later, to watch the Adele special." And I thought, I don't really want to watch it, but there are people there, so at least I'll be talking to people. I haven't been out in a while, and I have to say, I sat there, and whether it was that it was so deconstructed, she looks amazing.
Ridiculous.
Amazing.
How did that happen?
Her voice is truly flawless.
And it
wasn't auto-tuned. It's truly flawless. I would suggest anyone who is not thrilled about Adele or didn't really know who she is or just I could only watch the first 15 minutes because I was too busy catching up with people. But the first 15 minutes for me, it was sort of one of the most spectacular performances I have seen. And trust me, I've been in my lifetime, I've seen some amazing performances, and I'd put her up as really up
there.
You
know, there's been a lot of controversy about Adele's makeover glow up, and I feel that she's always been gorgeous, and I feel that I don't know, a lot of these body positive accounts that I follow find it really insulting that people say how amazingly gorgeous she now is as compared to when she was overweight.
She's always had a beautiful face.
You know,
so you have to stay overweight to prove a point that you're good with yourself? How about just doing what you want to do to be healthy and whatever that is for you and just support them and go, yay for you. That's what you want to be.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, we should... I love everybody. I love every body shape. I think everyone is beautiful. When I walk down the street, I can see someone and see a beautiful soul.
Would you date him?
It depends. Because I have dated all body types. So it just depends because I'm attracted to the person's soul.
Man, I wish I were that way.
But
you and I are the shallow hal category.
No, but okay. I do have to find them physically attractive in some way. But if they have a beautiful soul, like it's amazing.
But you know what? I mean, I've always said, you know how, like, I'm sure this happened to everyone. You know, you're like dating someone, right? And maybe they're not gorgeous, but they're stunning to you. Like for you, they're like, wow. And then you get to know them, and then they're not such a nice person. For me, when I get to that point where I see, this person's a son of a bitch, fucked up, whatever. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I look at them, and I see what I call the ugly.
Yep.
I see they do not look, and I go, what the hell was I thinking? Mm-hmm. Look at that chipped tooth. And then I start to micro, but I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? And it really free is, I mean, I don't know, is it that
oxytocin?
Yeah, yes. That sort of like, you know, the honeymoon period, wow, you know, yay, right. I love you, until you smack me, or until, you know, you are verbally abusive, or you cheat, or you're just an asshole. I look at that person and go, not so pretty. And they could be really, truly gorgeous, but at that point, it's this I don't notice. It's this that shows through.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I've dated 1,000,001 beautiful, absolutely stunning individuals in my life. And did I stay with them? I dumped every single one of them. And I will dump them faster than just a regular looking person. Because they're not saying that they're all not, but the ones that I chose, they expected me to do for them. They have self-entitlement issues. The insides of the soul were just ugly. So then when I looked at them afterwards, I couldn't even find them attractive.
No.
No.
And that goes for not only relationships, that's even friendships. You know, I think people, I mean, not all people. I mean, I try to be as genuine, authentic as possible. It's like, what you see is what you get. And when I come from that, I either get people that really love me, really can't stand me. Mm-hmm. There is no in between. And I think that's why I try to show my true authentic self, because I'm not going to go through the, I want this person to like. I don't give a fuck if you don't like me. This is who I am. And either you're going to like me or you don't. So if you don't, great. We haven't wasted either of our time.
Yep.
So on that note, my friends.
100%.
I always wanted to really leave a high note. But, you know, I just want to say, you know, it's always nice. I mean, I love having guests and stuff. And Cheryl is going to be looking into Thomas John's availability in the future. And I've got to reach out to a few people that were on the show, but I had to cancel and reschedule. So I'm trying to, well, we'll have more. I just want to say, you know, one thing I want to go around the room before we end it. And I know it's not Thanksgiving, but because we kind of miss Thanksgiving, what's one thing that each of you are thankful about? I'll start with Margie.
You know, I am so thankful that I have reached this point in my life where I look at a lot of the people around my age having decline in their lives, and I'm healthier than I've been since I was a teenager. I am so grateful for my good health.
And Cheryl?
Definitely, definitely the health, and just happy that I am where I am in my life and that I'm with my family. I mean, I know a lot of people couldn't travel, what have you, the last couple of years, and I've been with my family during this whole time. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's been a gift.
Ronnie?
Well, those two things, and I'm really, really grateful for Groundhog's Day. In other words, every morning I wake up, I have another chance to be forgiven and to forgive myself and to forgive others and start anew. So I'm just really grateful every day. This, you know what? Today is another day.
Mara?
That's my birthday, Groundhog's Day.
Of course it is.
It really is. I am thankful for you, Gayan. I really am. No,
thank
I
you.
Am. And I'm also very thankful for my loved ones and my cat.
Aww. And Cara?
I guess it's such a funny question in many ways, because so many things, of course, my beautiful son and my family life and my entire life, my beautiful homes I've lived in, all those kind of things. But I guess when you're talking about personal heart feelings, I guess I'm kind of thankful that of late, if I'm not in the best space, I turn to creativity, and I'm a very creative, colorful person. And that is, you know, that really gets me through a lot of stuff.
Yes, you are.
And Roxanne?
I am grateful for God and Source, because God and Source have put food on this planet for us to eat, air for us to breathe, cleanses the air with wind, gives us the water with rain. It's just, I mean, look at how beautiful this planet is. Really from Source, not people screwing things up. Just from Source, we literally have everything that we need. So I'm just grateful for that.
And I'm grateful for my new 65-inch TV. it makes it look, trust me, watching TV is pretty freaking amazing. No, I am grateful for, you know, like I said, I mean, to have one thing, you're right. You know, there's a myriad of things to be grateful for. But I think I'm most grateful that, wow, I asked the question and I have no answer. It's typical. Typical. I am grateful I'm strong. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that, you know, I'm a survivor. Look, trust me, I haven't had a bad life, but I play games with my own head. I'm inside my head too much. So, you know, I think the survival thing is predispositioned in me. But I'm strong, and I'm really grateful that I am a strong person, not only for myself, but for that I can be there for others. So, you know, I guess I'm just grateful that I can be there for anybody who wants to be there and still have room to be there for myself.
Nice.
So on that note, my friends out there, I appreciate, of course, you always tuning in to Between the Sheets podcast and supporting us and sharing the link and word of mouth and yada, 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 and Facebook and Cuprat on Instagram. We are here the first and third Friday of every month here at the United Broadcasting Network. I hope that you've enjoyed tonight's show. I kind of like I said, these shows when it's sort of just us and there's no agenda. And you know, you guys, thank you for, you know, we have no idea what we're going to talk about. So, which is the way I like it. But thank you for sort of joining our ride. And I hope you have enjoyed the show and continue to enjoy the show. But like I said, I mean, it's a weird world out there. It's a weird snatch and grabs and all this shit happening. It's a weird world out there. And we're all a little bit insane. We're a little bit eccentric, and, you know, just, learn to love that part of you, you know, being different, for me, being different is so much better than being like everybody else.
Yep.
So please learn to love yourself. Learn to love every quirk, every difference, everything that's not normal. Because I can't remember, Chuck Palahniuk, he's an author, and I think he said he'd rather be dead than boring. And I believe in that quote too. So, you know, have fun, love your differences, love your strangeness. And if you're normal, it doesn't, that you're actually not, for me, you're not being your true authentic self. You're conforming. So get back to being you. And it doesn't matter what someone thinks of you. It's about what you think of yourself.
And stand in your sovereignty.
Absolutely. We're all batshit crazy on this show, and I love everything about everybody, and I wouldn't pick anybody else to be on this show. I think the energy just collects us, and thank you, because you're part of that energy, because you constantly tune in to watch us. So thank you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I think it's December 17th. So have a beautiful night. Have a beautiful weekend. And continue having a beautiful life. We'll go around the room real quick.
Thank you so much. It was good being with you again. You can find me at Roxanne Rosen, whoever is looking for a job in sales, or whoever needs solar panels for their home or business, please let me know.
I will be at home with the elves preparing for the magical party.
Yes.
No, it's Christmas. Busy.
I'm not really busy on Christmas. Someone said, like, where have you been invited for Christmas? No one. And it's kind of weird. Oh, I got to tell you this. I was invited nowhere for Thanksgiving. And this is not a pity party. I was not one person reached out.
Me neither.
To invite me anywhere. And I thought, oh, my God, what the fuck is wrong with people? You know, like, I don't get it. I mean, again, this is not a pity party. I'm fine being alone. I am fine just being, you know, whatever. But I thought, oh, my God, how weird is it? Like, because everybody, like, you know, everybody, it's just weird. Anyway, I thought it was weird that I wasn't invited anywhere. But I was okay with, so this is not a, oh, poor gay Ann bullshit. But it was just weird. It's just weird not to be invited for the holidays. Because I've always opened up my house to other people. Anyway, that was a bitch session thought moment. Who gives a shit? Follow me on Instagram, QTE Brat, and then the Facebook page. Go, Mara.
Mara Shane on Instagram. No, Mara _ Shane on Instagram and Mara Shane on Facebook.
Ronnie.
I'm Ronnie Lowe, life coach on Instagram. Ronnie Lowe, life coach. And Gay Ann, I think it's because everybody assumes that everybody else has plans. Mm-hmm. And that's a good point you made. So that's making me think I shouldn't assume that all my friends already have plans and have dates and have family. Thank you for mentioning that, because I think everybody just assumed, well, Gay Ann has a million friends. She must have plans.
Well, that kind of was my shit going, wow, where are those million friends? Cheryl.
You can reach me at my upcoming events through my website, mediumcheryl.com, Facebook, Instagram, at mediumcheryl.
Was that kind of passive aggressive and mean?
No, not at all.
Margie?
If anybody's interested in acupuncture, oriental medicine in the Tucson area, you can find me at Margie Duran on Facebook, or you can find me at healingqilac@yahoo.com.
Thank you. And thank you, Robert, for managing this evening's show. Robert is a wonderful person, and do you have your own show on this network? Not yet. So he has a show on the network.
Good.
And he filled in for Tony. And even though I was hard on him in the beginning, you did a wonderful
job.
I apologize. You know, I've sat in that position many times, not for my show. And it's so funny because I literally can do my own. I mean, I literally can sit there and do my own show. Every station I've been on said, oh, we don't need a sound person. You can do your own. I have to tell you, mad respect for people who do that. I tried it one time, and I know the boards. I used to DJ. I know sound. I did sound. But sitting in there, having a show at your beck and call, it's like, it's unnerving. So thank you very much for your time tonight, and thank you for a wonderful job, and the Hail Mary pass. Appreciate it. Again, everybody, thank you very much. And as always, be safe, be well, and namaste.
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 Now you can cue the music, my friend.
Are we dressing for Christmas next week?
I guess next we time? Should.
I am.
Next week.
I mean, we're going to keep talking until we hear the music. Yeah, I mean, I'll dress for Christmas. I mean, it's red and green.
Red or green or green or red or gold. Or
I don't have any of those silver. Colors.
You can just fade out as we're talking. People think it's funny, so you know what I mean? Because we don't give a shit.
I'm like, I have burgundy. Come back if we have to do a photo, honey.